sign up to the SAFcast on Patreon at patreon.com/thesafcast, you'll receive early access episodes and bonus podcasts. Thanks. So I'm here with Oran Eastwood of St. Enda's in Antrim. Oran, how's it going with you? How are you settling into the new year?
Yeah, all good, Connor. Cheers for having me on. Just like everyone, post-Christmas and the new restrictions, everything coming in, just trying to do a bit. But yeah, not too much, just trying to do a bit and keep fitting, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think even if we're talking about looking ahead to the season, probably when we were speaking last week, that preview in the season probably looked a wee bit different to us previewing the season now, like in terms of not really sure how much of it's going to be played at the minute.
Yeah, well, obviously that 20th of February was the start date, and you had that whole regional thing supposed to be in, but I think at this stage no one really can be sure if that's going to be able to be still followed because of the whole training ban at the minute, and then if you can be ready for the 20th of February, and then even Antrim released the club fixtures there, well, yeah, the other day, I'm saying that there'll be a 20th of February start for the football fixtures. But again, I think everyone's also not too optimistic about that happening, just with the executive announcing the restrictions there. So yeah, it's hard to know at the minute. It's hard to get motivated probably, but you just got to do your best and try and just stay as ready as possible doing your own stuff. Like,
yeah, and like, I suppose if you're comparing it to last year and when we had the kind of shutdown in March and then kind of people were kind of ticking over, there was a wee bit of a novelty of the fact that it was a lockdown, like, you know, when people were doing the 5Ks and all these different challenges and all these different things, whereas yeah, this time around it's a wee bit different.
Yeah, no, I said definitely there's like the novelty. I know no one wanted to be locked down, but like the novelty of, I don't know, home workouts and doing what you could and 5Ks, and you can have a wee bit of crack with people and what your times are. But I think this time no one's thinking there's any crack involved with what the current lockdown, and yeah, just like you can't really do much with it. Like, I suppose you can do with whatever weight you can in the house and stuff. And as I said, literally just trying to be as ready as you can, because the training ban could end at any stage. You don't know, and then you might have 4 weeks to be ready for like a national league or something. But yeah, no cracking this time anyway compared to the last one.
Yeah, because it's that whole kind of having to just keep yourself ticking over, but without kind of knowing a kind of go date, it's more difficult. Yous are obviously involved with new management coming in this year, like, which is pretty exciting. Has, in terms of kind of, I mean, so much you can only plan for 2021 really from the management point of view, but I'm sure they have. Like, how's that reaction been to the new management coming in?
Yeah, I think everyone was, as you say, like, there was a bit of a buzz there with the new management. Just obviously like the big names coming in, and these, like, obviously they've been in contact with the lads to try and make sure that we're doing the right stuff, and over Christmas as well and over lockdown because of the training ban. But yeah, like I said it before there, it's weird looking ahead to the new season, but the lads have been in contact with boys, and I think everyone is trying to do as much as they can to be ready for whenever we can go back. Yeah, they've had the conversations with all the lads, but yeah, there's not much more we can do apart from that. Everyone's just looking forward to a new season, especially because the last one was weird and just cut short and whatever else.
Yeah, so like on last season, like, it's mad to think now, like, when it came to wrapping up the league with the last couple of games, it seemed like forever to the games pre-lockdown. So you obviously had your big impact in those games, you know, yourself in the games against Limerick especially. I think you got 2-3 in that game, and that there was the start of, okay, next week Antrim were playing Wicklow away. Yeah. And there was great momentum there to be taken on from that.
Yeah, because I think when we beat Limerick, I think we had a week off then, so it was the 2 weeks, so it was obviously a good buzz about the place and training and everything, because, you know, it was in our hands. It was basically two games within the next 3 weeks and you'd be up. And then I think we trained for a week, and then the following weekend then we had no fixture, but then that's when all the shutdown happened, and then just everything completely up in the air. So, but at that stage you were still, all right, it's not going to be too long or too bad. Sure, it'll be soon enough, and the buzz is still kind of there. But then Yeah, obviously it went in months and months, and like I said, yeah, it was obviously disappointing the way it finished because it was still in our hands, like when we went down to Wicklow. But yeah, it wasn't good enough by us, and we obviously got the win at the end against Waterford. But yeah, when you look back to March time last year, and we crawled back against Carlow to get a draw, and then beat Limerick convincingly, who ended up going up, and who ended up having, like, put Tipperary to the sword in the championship, who then got to the Ireland semi-final. Like, it's the small margins that are annoying more than anything, especially when we're so close to getting promoted.
I know, because I actually didn't really, because I had it in my head that Antrim going into those last couple of games, like, it was always kind of in their hands throughout the league. But then actually when I went back to read there, like, a defeat against Carlow when it pretty much would have been over, so that draw was so important. And obviously Carlow have had their kind of good form in recent years, maybe not last year, but you know, the years before that.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, like, it's almost like a cliche when people talk about Division 4, that it's like it's a dogfight and it's so hard and this and that, but like it is, like, even if it is a cliche, like, it is true, because you have to be so nearly perfect to go up, and you're playing winter football, and like the pitches aren't great, especially some other, like, some pitches go around the country, it's like it's nearly a bog sometimes at that time of year.
Yeah.
Other places part. So you do have to be, as I say, you have to be perfect. So I think we got beat by Sligo by a point, and that was a bad one, because we just didn't really perform in the day. So then it came to Carlow, and it was literally you can't lose. So get the draw was actually massive to stay in the hunt, and then you had the league leaders the next time. So it's as I said, it's all just do or die at the time, and then you get the win, and you're like, oh, happy days. But we didn't. The thing is, we didn't remain perfect. That's what you need to be at the end of the day. Like, if you other years, like, we've came with third 3 years in a row now, and like the two teams of us each times have lost once, maybe twice, like max. Like, so yeah, that's going into this year. That it has to be the mindset for everyone. It always is, like, but just. You have to know that, like, you can't just rely on anything.
Yeah, I actually, just in thinking back to the Division 4, like, winners and that in the last couple of years, I can't really think of them hammering too many teams within the division. Now, there's probably something glaring I'm missing there, but nothing really stands out to me. Like, you would see, I'd say, more hammerings probably in Division 1, like, more often than you would really in Division 4. There seems to be, everybody seems to be kind of have the potential to go up, and, like, you mentioned about Antrim finishing third three times in a row, but it always seems to be a bit of a tighter division.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And I think I can't really put my finger on it or anything, but I think the time of year definitely plays its part. I know that's for everyone, but I think there's such a, like, because there's such a stigma as well being Division 4, like, everyone's really, like, you're so close to just getting up. And, like, you've seen the last few years, like, when, like, for example, Carlow went up, they got a good championship run out of it, so... Like, promotion and, like, that buzz around the place, it's hard to quantify. Like, people don't understand how much it would really do for, like, the team in the county going into the championship. Like, Limerick this year, they put Tipperary sword, only a last-minute kick, put them out. And then, like, Carlow a few years ago went on a great run. I think they beat Kildare in the championship.
Yeah.
Like, Leitrim as well. Like, unfortunately went down this year back to Division 1 because of, like, COVID and stuff. So,
yeah,
it is just, it's so tight, like.
Yeah, because even thinking back to, I was chatting to Paddy Cunningham about playing, and they obviously had a few years ago where they had the back-to-back promotions, and they were up playing Division 2, and they went up with Sligo both times. They got promoted together, and it just showed you the quality there, that Sligo and Antrim were two Division 4 teams, consecutive promotions going up to Division 2, and were competitive in Division 2 as well. You know what? It was just very tight in terms of going down. So, and they led to kind of, like, I suppose it's competing at that higher level as well, just makes such a big difference when it comes to championship. And you look at a team that gets relegated from Division 2 to 3, the team that getting promoted from 4 to 3 that same year is more likely to probably go on a better run than the championship.
Yeah, like, that's what I said. It's just really hard to, like, explain or quantify that kind of buzz. And I know, like, people would be like, oh, just focus on the next thing and not try and take emotion out of it, but, like, it's hard to. And, like, when you're on, like, when you're beating teams in the league, so, like, you might have 6 wins there in the league or something, and then you're 4 or 5 weeks to the championship, you're just riding that crest of the wave that brings you into it, and, like, you never know what happens then when you go on the day in championship, like. So yeah, like, I think it's been loads of, like, different lads have said it in various interviews and stuff in the past years, like, management and different players being like, you have to get out of Division 4, and, like, that's literally that is it. Like, you have to get promoted to be able to do better in the championship ultimately. And I think that first year, would obviously, if you try and win as many games, just keep winning. Like, but yeah, that's all you can do.
You mentioned about the championship there. Obviously, you just faced Cavan in that, and look, that game was probably a game that. I mean, Cavan obviously had their story this year and their comebacks and that, but you know, they didn't get it all their own way against Antrim, and Cavan were coming off the back of playing, you know, top tier football, or sorry, they were a chance of going up to Division One and end up getting relegated in the end, but that was just the nature of the tightness of Division Two.
Yeah, like, I can't remember the exact like times and what we were up, but I know we were up for decent portions of the game, and like, it was always tight the whole way through. I think we might have finished a 3-point game, but it was really close towards the end or whatever. But yeah, like, I think that can hopefully give us some sort of, like, I don't know if hope's the right word, but kind of like, you know, you can get there kind of thing. Because as you said, like their relegation is almost not a real reflection on them kind of thing. Because, and even going into it, you would have said, oh, well, they got relegated and we nearly got promoted kind of thing. But you hope, and then the run that they went on, and they really put it to a lot of the top teams, that you're not that far off. Because like, we had chances as well to maybe not kill the game, but maybe give us a bit of a cushion when we were up, or like try and not let them get away. And they were good chances, and we just on the day missed them. So you like to think that, yeah, you're not that far away when you have games like that, and you know you can get to, you know, you can play at a level that you can then try and maintain throughout the season.
Yeah, because that's what they did, really. Like, they went from strength to strength. They even their opening again game against Monaghan, like, where they came back and, you know, got that win, and then with them obviously going on and beating Donegal in the Ulster final. Like, anybody I've spoken to, you've said, like, that just goes to show you, like, there is really nothing that could, you know, stop you from doing that. And I know getting to the provincial final, for example, is an important thing in the next couple of years if they're going to have the Talton Cup and that there, you know, in terms of playing the Sam Maguire. So it really does demonstrate that like, kind of having that plan is almost like as important as anything, and that belief.
Yeah, like, it's kind of like, people always write you off and stuff, especially because you're playing Division 4, as I said, obviously. You want, like, but you're there for a reason almost. Yeah, we finished third 3 years in a row, but before you get up the division, I mean, you just got to know that you're going to be able to compete with those teams. And like, the Talton Cup, like, for example, now and then, like, to the next few years, almost might, it just incrementally brings you up then as well. So you're playing more teams maybe around your level in the championship, and like, I know you might not be playing the bigger teams, but then you're slowly might help us get up towards that level. But and yeah, I think everyone on the lads last year, like, completely devastated after the loss, but it definitely showed us that, like, you're not as far off as what some people might tell you are, or you might think you are, or whatever.
Yeah, and looking at something like that, if it's given the right platform, you get maybe that Croke Park experience playing, say, semi-finals, finals, and that they're at it. Like, look at the Hurlers this year, obviously getting to play Kerry there, and the Hurlers are probably a really good example, and the Camogie and the ladies football this year as well, like, went on good runs. Like, it's that momentum is just an example of that, really, of how you can ride on that through to your championship campaign.
No, yeah, I think you're talking about like trying to give it the right platform and everything. Like, the Joe McDonough, I remember, like, a few years ago, people were really being like trying to say that it wasn't like given X, Y, and Z to really promote it or whatever. Maybe it wasn't, but I think, like, if you asked any of our hurlers, they would definitely would really, really speak highly about it, because maybe allowed them to play at whatever level, and then they hammered everyone this year, and they showed that they were too good for it, and they really, it's definitely going to put them in a better place to go and play Division 1 hurling and Leinster hurling. So hopefully that is the case with like things like the Talton Cup, and hopefully it does well for us as it does for the hurlers.
Yeah, and mentioning about 2020, obviously there was the big break from the inter-county, and then club football returned in July. Like, you were playing the senior championship. You obviously had your intermediate All-Ireland run there a couple of years ago too, which we'll maybe chat about in a wee minute. But that senior championship, that group stage and all that there, was it something that's obviously, I mean, club players, we just needed games at that stage, you know, so the group stage probably made sense.
No, yeah, it was brilliant at the time. I don't know anyone who didn't enjoy it, because you'd had such a break. And then the county done well as well to have that one league game before the championships. Everyone's kind of got a game to get everything out of their system, and they blow off the cobwebs. But yeah, the knockout format was very good, because then it was made it really competitive as well, as you had constant games. You weren't just building up for one, and if that was it, you were done. So like, it definitely, it was, and like all the games were like, it wasn't as if like you were taking your foot off the gas or anything. It was real championship football, like in the height of summer, which is, I don't know how anyone could complain about that. Whether they're going to continue with the groups, I don't know, but I know a lot of lads did enjoy it, because you had proper competitive football at the height of the summer, like.
Yeah, anyone I've spoken to have been positive about it, and even like in the hurling, I know the senior, they've had it for the last couple of years in the group stages and all. But you obviously had, I mean, we used the Gordon and Mona and St Gall's in your group. The St Gall's win in Milltown was obviously a big result for you at that stage. Like, I suppose getting that one early on in the championship at that stage was to lay down a bit of a marker there in terms of what your intentions were, building on the previous year's success.
Yeah, like, it was obviously a massive win. Yeah, and I think at that time, yeah, we were hoping that would have been maybe like a marker or something to build on. And obviously, unfortunately, we got beaten in the quarterfinal by Craigan, but it was obviously a big win for the club. And I don't know if it showed some people, or maybe people who didn't think we were as good or whatever, that we could compete at that level as well. So yeah, it was a great win, because the 2 years in the league as well, they beat us handy at both times, like, so it showed we could maybe play at that level of the top teams, like.
I have to ask about the game at home when you scored that goal after the water break. What was that like for you? Like, what was going through your head whenever, like, you were obviously back out in the pitch first?
Yeah, I don't know. I was, as soon as I seen it, I was just screaming at lads to just kick it as much as they could to get out the pitch. I could see that, because they were obviously down the other end, so they were just sprinting back. And then two of our lads went for the same ball.
Wiped each other out.
Yeah, I think it was, might have been Peter and Alan nearly went, then wiped each other out. Then it bounced up, and Peter just swung a foot at it. It got up anyway, but I tapped it into an empty net, and I've never been as nervous to see an empty net before. Yeah. All the lads sprinting back. But yeah, I know, it's a bit mad now.
I was thinking that, because whenever it rolled, like, I guess it was a soaking day, wasn't it? It was a wet, really wet day. I was thinking, like, even I watched a replay of it earlier, and I was even thinking, watching it again, thinking it might not roll in, because you know, you see those ones, yeah, where you hit it and it just stops or something like that there. Like,
I was such a like measured kick or something. I really just tried to hit it right in the middle of the goal, and if I had missed it, I would never have lived it down, like, even win or lose, like, so at least it went in anyway.
Yeah, and that, I suppose that was kind of the game then, you know. The first game against St Gall's, you just came from, I think, 6 points down in the second half to go on to win that. And then St Gall's beat you in the other game then by 3 points in the kind of turnaround. You both went through in the end. And then I suppose that's the nature of kind of playing round-robin football, really. You're going to have that. But at the same time, you know, you have one advantage there of you're getting plenty of games. The other one is, you know, the teams still are hanging about. You know, you're not knocking them out, yeah, just at that stage. Yeah.
But it seems like as long as you get through, because, like, if you're in a quarterfinal, like, it doesn't really matter who you play. You can't really be asking to play certain teams or thinking, yeah, about different permutations. Like, I think maybe if, because we knew, both teams knew they were through at that stage, but I think, yeah, then the obviously St Gall's wanted the right, the wrong of losing, and then we just thought that, like, there's no point in planning for anything. Like, you want to play as many games. So, like, we just went out, and it was still a proper championship game, just they won, and they won by more than what we won by, so they went through and played Portanoon. But it doesn't actually matter at that stage, I don't think, who you play, because I think the last few years have shown that there's not that much separating all the top teams. Like, there's no big hammerings later on in the championship, so yeah, like, that would have been the thing about the round robin, yeah, that you've got many games and it's just really competitive.
Yeah, because anyone I've spoken to about the championship this year have said that about. And if you look at the results, like look at the final this year, how tight that was. Look at, you know, even previous year's finals and all, semi-finals. Like, St Gall's played Portland home. That was a game went to penalties. Obviously, the drama and that there. So, like, you would have been facing a very strong Portland home side, a very strong Craigan side. You could be facing any quality teams, really. The Antrim Championship's really shown that in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, we listened to your one with Mick as well a few weeks ago. Yeah, and that's what he said about, like, how, like, them having, like, three in a row or whatever, but they beat Craigan by a point. They went to a replay with Lambda Erg and won by 2 points, and they won by another point in extra time against Craigan. So, like, they have three in a row. That's what he was saying. It's not as if they were on the way with it, even though they are the standard now. And, like, sure, if we had if we had a played or beat St. Gall's that time, played Portland Own, Portland Own were a kick of a ball from the county final year before with all the freeze in the dub. So
yeah.
Again, even at Haganlan last year, Lander needed a last minute goal. So yeah, like it's only good for Antrim football that it's that tight and there's no hammerings and everything.
Yeah, because that, I'd say Ahagallan was an alone we mentioned, and I had said about, I remember playing against Ahagallan Division 3, like, a few years ago, and now they're up competing in the Senior Championship. Like, they're, it just shows you kind of that broad standard across the board, and probably reflects on the county team at the minute. Like, I'm not sure of the club spread at the moment, but it seems to be that there's a lot of clubs represented in that, in the squad.
No, yeah, there, I think on the gun and the Ahagallan thing as well, I think both of us played against each other in Division 3 just when I was, like, when I was like minor, I think, so like around then, and then we're both up in Division 1 now, so it's definitely changed. But no, there's people said to me before, I say there is a massive spread in the county team, like there's teams from all over Division 1 and 2 represented, like, so it is, I don't know if it's, what's it like in other counties really, but yeah, there is a massive spread, which is must be then reflected in the club championship because it is so competitive.
Yeah, mentioned about the club of All Ireland run you had obviously a few years ago, and I mean that's a pure example of momentum there, like we were talking about earlier, the intermediate run. So I was reading some about it. So you maybe, I think in the intermediate championship in Antrim, you had lost maybe a couple of semi-finals before you made that breakthrough in the final and scored the bonus, isn't that right?
Yeah, the year before we were beat by St. Bridget's by a point, I think, in the semi-final, and then the year before. The year before, I think it was Dunloy by an extra time or something like that. So it was, there was loads of like close calls. And I think like we'd been playing intermediate for years, and then all like kind of like the teams I was in growing up, like we'd like a lot of juvenile success. So then we came into the team and it was like, people wouldn't say it, but like hoping and like maybe expecting that we might do something. And then obviously the two semi-finals were beat, but then yeah, in 2018, the actually finally get over the line was brilliant.
Yeah, and then you just went from, like, I mean, obviously winning it after coming close the previous couple of years. Yours are into Ulster. You're probably, of course, you're thinking, right, you know, you're okay, on one side, you're like thinking we could go do something here, but at the same time, it was probably bonus territory in that sense, because I don't think an Antrim team had, yours are the first to win intermediate Ulster, isn't that right?
I don't know for sure, but I think it was, anyway, it might have been the first in a while, yeah.
So like even looking at that there, like what was it when you got out of Antrim and then you just went to play that quarter final, like, you know, was there a kind of an Ulster run in mind at that stage?
I don't know if like any of the players would really said it, but Big Frank, he said it from like as soon as he could. He thought there was like something in it, and he kept on hammering that we definitely could go far. And it's, I don't know, like, you kind of think about Antrim Championship and getting to the final, hoping to win it, but then you don't really, it's hard to like come back and reset your goals to go to the Ulster, because it was like 2 weeks later as well. Mm-hmm. I think probably once we won with the quarterfinal, we won kind of well, like we were kind of comfortable in it. So maybe then people started to think and realize you could do it. But I think the good thing about Ulster was that you're playing every 2 weeks, so like you were always getting games as well. And it might have been, I know maybe it was harder to think or put pressure on yourself or anyone that of winning an Ulster title, but I think once that first, you know, for that first game, that was probably more confidence than anything, because it was, and I think the first game helped as well, because it was in Corrigan 2 weeks after we played the Antrim final in Corrigan. So that,
yeah,
like it probably eased you into like an Ulster, because you're in an Ulster quarter final, but it was kind of like on home territory in Antrim where you played before and stuff.
Yeah, no, that would definitely be like a nice way to come into, especially if you're a team that's not regularly playing in Ulster, playing against a team you've probably never played against before. It's a lot different to say coming up against St. Bridget's or Dunloy or someone like that there in Antrim, really. So he's won the final against Mullaghorin then Cavan. That's obviously like a great thing, like great thing to celebrate and all that there. It's a wee bit strange to think back to how championships are celebrated now compared to them. But you've obviously had the semi-final then, like, and I mean, I suppose you're just thinking obviously semi-finals are for winning and all that there, but one step from Croke Park playing for your club, like that's probably something that was playing a lot of people's minds.
Yeah, I think as well it was different, because as I was saying there about you were playing every 2 weeks, and it was three games in a row plus the Antrim finals. That was kind of constant. But then you had the break for Christmas, and then a couple of weeks into the new year for the semi-final. So it kind of built, it probably built then a wee bit, the kind of how big it was and everything. And then everyone knew it was going to be on, it was on TG Cahir and stuff. So kind of everyone knew, but we were training flat out, like, and over Christmas, over the year, didn't really stop, and played friendlies and all. So like, I think it, with that, and then winning the Ulster really gave us like a confidence. So there was no real, like, it would have been different if you had been building from the Antrim final in the Ulster as opposed to building from Ulster in the Ireland, because the Ulster really gave us like a confidence to go into it. And then we got goals early on, and it kind of just completely settled us, and probably were quite comfortable in the game because of the goals early on.
Yeah, and I remember watching, and obviously there was the goals that Joe Maskey got, the one from long range. Yeah, like, I mean, when you seen that happening, like, what was going through your head there?
There's a picture somewhere where, like, he gets the ball and he's just going to shoot, and I'm like calling for the ball, and then there's a picture after where, like, I just have like my arms up in the air celebrating, but I'm just like, how is that happening? Like, I think if you asked him to do it 100 times, it might go in once, but here it went in. So
went in that once anyway. Like,
I know, that's all we needed here. Still can't believe it to this day. Couldn't believe it.
The final then against Kilcommon, like, coming up against the Kerry team, like, you know, heading out into Croke Park in St. Enda's colours, like, you know, how was that build up for the club as well as yourself?
I think, like, people in the club were like, they were even more prouder, like, than us, if anything, because, like, they were doing so much, like in the community and all. Like, there was probably, won't mean much to a lot of people listening, but, like, there was like St. Enda's flags and Glengormley and up and down the High Town Road and stuff, which obviously would never have like happened before. And then like local schools and all were like inviting you in and stuff and trying to do all that. So like the buzz was massive, like, there's no other way about it. But I think the people in the club were definitely just as proud, if not prouder, and really going all out for it. And then when you run out onto the pitch, like, so many, like, we had so many supporters at it that day, but just disappointing we couldn't win. But yeah, everything else was brilliant.
I mean, it took a pretty special performance from them, like, you know, in what they did, like, to win that game. When you were out playing there, like, in Croke Park, was there any opportunity to kind of look around and take it in? That, like, was it more something kind of hard to do during the game, obviously, but maybe something before the game or even after? I know it's disappointment, obviously.
No, I see, to be honest, it was more of a, it's once you go out, it's hard to take it in, apart from the fact that you're playing in like a big stadium and stuff. Like, it's hard to like go and like see who's there and all. But it was more maybe after it, when like we're on the pitch watching them lift the trophy, or even like probably more the pictures after it, of like the, like people like Saffron Gale doing all the pictures of the fans. You kind of realised how many were actually there, because yeah, during it, it's probably harder to take it in, yeah, because you're trying to focus on the game or whatever. But I think it was the sheer, just the stadium, like I've been whatever number of times to Croke to watch games, but like when you're down there, like, it's huge, it just seems so much bigger.
Yeah. What about like Frank Fitzsimmons' impact then, obviously, on the club? Like, he's obviously had the inter-county involvement as well in recent years. What sort of impact has that had, like, kind of in you coming through in the senior team and all?
For Frank, for St. Enda's anyway, it was just the confidence he just gave, like, me and everyone else so much confidence. Because, like, as I said there, he actually believed you could go on and not just Antrim and do something. And he had that confidence in, like, us and everyone, to, like, that could happen. And he kind of just puts that in there that, like, you're going to be able to, like, beat anyone you go out and beat. Like, the St. Gall's one last year, he's, like, supremely confident, and he wants you to go and really try and press a team and try and overturn them and try and win. I think that was like the Joe's goal. I remember he was like really saying about trying to go at them and trying to turn them over high up and just be confident, not sit back against teams who might fear or whatever. And like, we got that big turnover for Joe, and Joe put it in the net. But no, Frank's 100%. Frank's brilliant. And I had him in the county the year before in 2017 before he came in. And I know like a lot of the lads who he had then speak really highly of him as well. So no, Frank's very good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think looking at 2021, I'm not really sure what the kind of makeup of the year is going to be in terms of the season. Hopefully the schedule can kind of be what's planned there anyway, with the Intercounty and then club coming afterwards. So look, here I just want to say thanks very much for joining me on us, and best of luck for the club and the Intercounty season later this year, whenever it takes place.
Cheers, thanks for being in, Connor.
Sign up to the SAFcast on Patreon at patreon.com/thesafcast. You will receive early access episodes and bonus podcasts. Thanks.